Welcome to Cabronas y Chingonas, a podcast where we talk about queer and Latinx topics, such as
Fatten on the Wilds, who, you know, they showed her as like this boy obsessed like girl and all these things, but let's be real, like she would jump a girl's bones any time of day if it was the right one.
I have a feeling Dot was the right one, but anyways.
Dot. That's a fun matchup. Yeah. And then Dot, the actress, is queer in real life. That's kind of cool.
I saw it for both of them, honestly. I was like, wait a minute. I know this isn't supposed to be about them, but I dig them together.
Mm-hmm. Corona,
what's poppin', chingona? Was good.
We have made it over to 2021, aka 2020 again.
I thought you were gonna say something else. I was just like, what? 20 what?
Oh god, what was it? I saw somebody that said like pronouncing 2021 is literally saying that 2020 won. It won the battle against humans. I don't know.
Oh god, no. I saw another one that was like 2020, wait till she turns 21, and I was like, ah, okay, I get it.
Oh, why that she I guess I don't know.
I mean, I guess it could be a dude, but Mother Earth, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, but dudes,
I'm just talking out of my ass.
Screw shit up. I don't know, it just seems like a man's work, 2020.
Oh god, it was a lot of men's work, a lot of men doing nothing. That is correct, ma'am. But yeah, so we're here, we made it to 2021. I didn't do much in the holidays except watch movies. What about you?
The opposite. I played Among Us religiously, and I watched my nephew play a lot of Pokemon.
Of course.
And ate a lot of Mexican food.
Okay, my question, are you good at Among Us? Because I am trash, crap, garbage.
I was
at
pretty
it.
Bad. but after playing incessantly for many, many hours, sometimes when I'm an imposter, I just pull the wildest shit. And I'm like, how are you not voting me out? What the fuck is wrong with you? People that don't play Among Us are like, what the fuck is she talking about? This is boring. Move it on. Where's the gay shit? You're right.
I mean, it's just funny to me because it's a psychological thing. Like, I just snitch on myself every time.
Oh my god.
I'm so obvious. Like, I'll chase you around until I get you.
No, don't do that. I'll be like, oh, I'm just here. I'm just doing a task. Killed. Just kidding.
No. Yeah, it's a fun game to play if you want to see the psychology of people and whether or not they're good liars. And I am
not people.
So bad.
More like children because they're all 8 years old. And I'm old as fuck.
I don't play with children. I only play with my friends. If I did, they'd probably beat me. Yeah. And they'd vote me out every time. But, like, adults, like, I just play with
I play with strangers, you know what I mean? Like, I don't...
Wow. Yeah. Whoa, so you're really a gamer now. Look at you. You're
a gamer. Girl. I'm not like other
girls.
You're
a gamer girl. Not like the other girls? Oh, my God.
I'm different. I hit different. No.
Look, okay, here we are now. You brought up SZA, not me, so
oh my god. Okay, go on.
Dude, she put out Good Days for me. Good Days came out 2 days before my birthday, even though it was not her grandma's birthday? it was her grandma's birthday, and that's why she put it out. Her grandma passed last year. I can't, all the years don't make sense to me, but yeah, so oh my god, that song. Oh, you guys go stream Good Days by SZA to clear your skin. And if you're toxic, it was made for you, aka me. So
La Toxicas, stand
La
up.
La Toxicas, you know, we out here. But anyways, yeah. So I do have something that maybe we should cover. I'll just bring it up because I'm like kind of curious to see what you think. It's not gay, but it's like called The Sound of Metal.
I don't think I've heard of that. I don't know what that is.
Oh my god, it has Riz Ahmed from Everything, The Night Of, a Middle Eastern man of color, like, as the lead, and he's playing a, like, drummer who's going deaf, and it's really cool. I love the whole thing. It's about being part of the deaf community in a very real way, and also he's a person of color, so I love that shit.
Hey, maybe. I mean, it's not, like, something we haven't done before, right? It's not. It doesn't always have to be gay.
It doesn't. No, it... But it was really good. I just, oh my god, there's so much noise going on, sorry. But yeah, so
that's cool.
Yeah, I recommend it.
Well, a new year, new us, so I guess maybe we should reintroduce ourselves a little bit. You go first, since you have the cabronas part of our name.
Yeah. I'm Fried Papita, aka the cabrona. I cover movies, and I'm currently in Texas. I don't know if that's too much information, but anyways, what about you?
I'm a chingona half, Maite. I live in Los Angeles, but I am from Texas, and I don't do one thing. I don't know. I don't have an occupation, really, other than being a podcaster right now.
Well, you're creative.
Yeah.
You should give yourself that title, you know, carry it, write it on your forehead, creative. No, you should. You gotta own that shit.
I work out. That's pretty much my whole life right now.
Oh, and are you still vegan?
I've never been vegan, ma'am.
Oh, vegetarian?
Yeah, I'm still sticking to that.
Okay. I get them confused. I'm sorry. It's just, I'm like, it starts with a V. I always just, you're in LA. I assume everyone's a vegan in LA at this point.
God, LA. Yeah, so that was too much information on my part.
Yeah, anyways, sorry.
So we'll get started with the episode pretty soon, but speaking of cabronas y chingonas, I just want to mention or really dedicate this first episode of the year to the most badass cabrona, the most badass chingona, like the epitome of the name of this podcast, which is Myra Martinez. She is... the sister of Elizabeth Martinez, who is one of our favorite YouTubers, if not our favorite YouTuber.
Hands down.
California Love 84 is the YouTube channel, which we'll link. We've been watching them for years, and Myra's like the funniest freaking sister, because all the sisters kind of go on there and they make us laugh and do us that favor of taking us out of our own world. And I don't know, I just want to dedicate... This episode, she recently passed, and I'm sure you, like myself, have been pretty emotional about it and binge watching the older videos of California Love 84's channel. So yeah, I just want to say, like, you guys gotta go see her. She's amazing. We'll link some of our favorites on our website and on the description.
I remember, like, one of the first ones I saw was when, like, they were like, our straight sister
reacts to, yeah.
And I just, it's quality stuff, you guys. And it, I don't know, just, you know, rest in power. She was hilarious and a super, super bright soul. So y'all go send love to California Love 84. I am this close to not being broke so that I can afford to be on her Patreon, but I am not that close yet. So maybe next month when I get money. So
all you K-pop stans, you know, you'll love her channel. Definitely go. Look, and she has merch too. I have some of her merch. It's like, I might even get some more. Everybody, if you can, go support the channel, because of course they're gonna need some time off, and that's how Elizabeth makes the moolah. And so just do what you can. At the very least, check out the channel. I think it's hilarious to anybody.
If you're once or blink, she does it for you. If you're a stan, part of the K-pop stan community, she does it for you. So y'all can do something for her if you got the coins.
But yeah, or the time to watch some amazing videos. Yeah.
How long have we been watching? 2017? The start of this podcast?
Yeah. Pretty much not long after we started it. You sent me one of Elizabeth's videos, and I haven't been the same since.
You're welcome. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
I don't know how I even found her. Just shout out to the YouTube algorithm, you know?
Thank
She's amazing.
God for that algorithm.
Yeah. But yeah, anyways, so what are we going to be talking about today, Maita?
I'm talking about a show called The Wilds. And what about you?
Ooh, fancy. I'm going to be talking about Miranda July's Cajillionaire, which you just watched. So it's very fresh in your mind. And I'm curious to know how you feel about that. And also, I'm super curious about The Wilds because it was that was a fun binge. That was so much fun.
Unexpected, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Which one came out first? I don't even know. They both came out, like, recently, right?
Yeah, but Cajillionaire isn't, like, super available. Like, you still have to pay, it's not, like, cheap.
Yeah, but wasn't Cajillionaire released more recently, I think?
I think so. The history of it is that it was doing, like, the, it was still doing, like, Sundance and all of the film festivals. And then it finally came out early release on Amazon Prime. So it's still not super accessible, but I think it will be soon.
Oh, I think it actually came out before The Wilds. Interesting. They're pretty close, though.
Yeah, yeah, they're pretty close. No, you can go first with The Wilds.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Because Cajillionaire is still, like, super limited and not it's not too accessible yet, so...
Yeah, I mean, unless you have your ways.
Correct, yeah. 1, 2, 3, no. Yeah, anyways, yeah. But yeah, I'm super curious. I want to hear about this.
Yeah, let's do it. So, of course, because The Wilds just came out here in December on Amazon Prime, I won't be getting too spoilery. I'm mostly going to be talking about, like, just, like, the vast amount of representation that's in it, because they really tried to go diverse on this thing.
For once.
But it was it was created by a woman named Sarah Stryker, and it came out on December 11th. Basically, if you're into Survivor, but also, like, Pretty Little Liars, this this is kind of great for you, probably, because it has a little everything. It has everything, like Stefan says. So the general premise is a bunch of young women are on a plane on their way to Hawaii for what they believe is going to be an empowerment retreat. But then the plane crashes and they land on a deserted island, or so they think. And they also think that they're going to get rescued in no time. And they soon find out that surviving this alleged crash was the easy part. Like, it's just the beginning. But yeah, like I said, they put some effort. So what I'm gonna do, like I said, is run through the characters, starting pretty much chronologically with each person's backstory, because they have pretty much every single episode you'll continue the plot of what's going on in this island, but you also flash back to give insight into each of the main characters. So the first one is Leia, and her conflict is kind of surrounding an inappropriate relationship she has back home. And she's sort of
creepy.
She sort of develops this obsessive behavior from it. So, like, it's interesting. It sucks what she's going through, right? Like, that's the whole point, is that you're seeing, like, damn, she's really going through it. But you're also seeing, you know, not letting the people who are, like, normalizing these kinds of inappropriate relationships, you're telling them, like, no, this is gonna fuck this young girl up because she's young, she's a child, you know. So That was an interesting, I don't want to, like, get too far into it, but, you know, I don't want to spoil it, but it's an interesting story. It's probably one of the more, like, emotional, like, really charged ones. Not the most, but one of them. Our second episode character is Rachel, who is a competitive diver who develops an eating disorder, kind of, because of it, and she's also the only person on the island who has a family member with them, but I'll get into that family member after.
Oof, that drama.
Rachel is also black, so that's cool. We have some multiple representations there. And then the third character who gets a backstory is Dot, who we talked about a little bit at the beginning.
We love Dot.
Yeah, she was previously her father's, like, caregiver, And she's kind of probably the one that's the least eager to return to real life because there's not much for her to go back to, you know? And because of a lot of shit that she goes through, which we'll see, like, she kind of acts as, like, the strongest person in the group. She's a sort of leader for the most part.
She's Leo.
She is. Is she really in real life or just in the show?
No, I got drunk and I did everyone's signs. Oh my God. I think she's a Leo. Her personality, she's the leader. She's the most competent. People pay attention to her. She's Leo. Yeah.
I kind of see it, but I don't think she gives that much of a shit about how people feel about her, which gives me non-Leo vibes.
Oh, you're right. Maybe like an Aries.
That could be it, yeah.
Yeah.
That
yeah,
sounds,
I think that's
right.
What it is.
But she's also like the one that has like all the survival knowledge, right? Because she used to watch this show with her dad about like survival skills and stuff.
I think she does care about what people think about her because she doesn't give a shit about like how they interpret it, but she knows she's right. So I don't know. She gives me strong like Leo, like
could be
like vibes. Cause
maybe
she just,
if I rewatch
she's,
it,
she's so charismatic though. Like everyone pays attention to her. Like when she's telling them what to do, they actually listen. So yeah. I'm like, no, she's a Leo. People like her. You know, she's a good leader. So that's why
could be.
That's my take on
You're
that.
You're like, anyways. No, I thought this through and I was drunk. Okay,
I did.
But like we mentioned earlier, also the actor who plays Dot is queer in real life, or so she said on the Twitter. And
yes.
And her, along with one of the other characters, is what I like to think of as Hollywood fat, which is to say she's not skinny like, you know, your typical actor that you see on screen. And I was like, okay, that's cool. You know what I mean?
It's kind of like the shape of the body is acceptable. You know how, like, it's the
Yeah, they're never going to, like, full-fledged go in and have, like, you know, a fat character, like, a real person. Or, I mean, sometimes they do these days, but
they do, just not in, like, shows that center or that are kind of around this idea of whiteness. I've noticed, like, in more shows with, like, black women or Latinos, they're starting to kind of, like, push it first in a better way, in a real way. Like Natasha Rothwell and like I think that's her name. Natasha
Insecure?
From Insecure. Yeah, like that's like real. That's a real representation of a fat person versus, I mean, Dot's just kind of thick to me.
Yeah, exactly. It's not like not really, but you know, the fact that it's like you're casting this group of teenage girls, you know the go-to is like super thin girls. But they didn't do that and you know, they definitely could have gotten away with it. So that was interesting. Anyways, number four, the Tony episode. Of course she has a gender neutral name.
Tony is an out
and proud lesbo with some serious anger issues. So her backstory kind of shows us that she was in the foster system and how she ended up living with one of the other girls on the island, which I'll get into later. But you get to see her, like, fall in love a little bit. You get to see her and like the people around her all being like indigenous, which is really cool. Like and they're not like trying to be like mad stereotypical either, right? Like these are people who live in our current world and that's that. So
how rare and random, right?
I like- know. Yeah, and it's not like a thing on the island, right? Like no one's like talking, I mean, on the island, no one talks about race, right? You're talking about how you're gonna eat the next day.
But, I mean, but there was like lots of conversations of class between her and the white girl from
Shelby.
Dallas.
Shelby,
I was like, oh, she's spot.
Yeah,
on.
But
when
they
we
were
get
like
to
a
her.
Special. They were like a special little aside. They had a whole thing, which we'll talk about.
Also, I think Tony's a Taurus or an Aries. Who's toxic, but I haven't. But I'm leaning towards the Taurus just because she's hella stubborn and she's got anger issues. So
interesting. I would have almost thought like Virgo. I don't know.
No, I'll tell you who the Virgo is. Get there.
All right. So next up is Fatten. She's my fucking favorite. She's like this rich girl. She's a star cellist. The sex positive babe of my dreams. Like, absolutely fantastic. And like, especially like how she is on the island, I felt like she was extremely real with everyone. She was never trying to be something that she was not. I really appreciated that character a lot. But her main conflict is with her parents, and hard not to spoil, so I'll leave it at that. It's, she has issues with her,
that was messy,
wild ass parents.
But she's a Virgo.
Really?
Come on, dude. She manages to stay on her own schedule, but she also doesn't give a fuck. But that's because I think in the show, I think she literally said she was a Virgo sun, Aries moon.
Oh, wow.
Like, she announced it, remember?
I don't remember, but, like, I don't know. I like that character. That surprises me. That makes me
think. But she has a fire moon, which means, like, person to person, she's cool. She's either a Taurus or a Virgo to me, because she's super chill and lazy, but she handles her shit the way a Virgo does. Because imagine, she used to like fuck around with all these dudes and then be a master like fucking musician and still go to school and still
I'm
be
just missing
like
the possessiveness, right? Like, what I see in Virgos is like this possessiveness of like, this shit is mine, this person is mine, this whatever is mine.
No, dude, that's where's like that the at? Possessiveness is like, that's like a more of a this is more of like a Capricorn placement thing, or a, let's say like a Scorpio placement thing. Like, those two signs are really possessive and controlling and crazy, and Virgo is more like, I just want to tell you that you're doing this, like, you could be doing this better, and I'm going to tell you why. But they don't necessarily possess you. Like, Scorpios are like, I own you. If you sneeze, that sneeze is my sneeze. You know, and Caps are like,
Jesus fucking Christ.
You might have actually been dating someone with some Scorpio placements in there, dude. You got to, because they're the ones that are possessive.
I'd have never dated a Virgo, nor will I ever, dude.
I like Virgos. They're cool.
Yeah, wild in, though. But Capricorns are like a different fucking breed, dude. Like, I can't with you guys. Y'all fucking scare
I love
me.
Y'all. I love Leos too.
Leos are like interesting. Let's not get into that. So next is Shelby, who we've already semi commented on. She is this white girl who's, oh, I didn't even mention Fenn is like, she's like Southeast Asian, I think. Mm-hmm. Sure?
Correct.
But still like American as fuck, right? So Shelby is a white girl from Dallas, you said? She's from Dallas? That's awesome.
Yep. They so mentioned Dallas. It's and so she is the embodiment of a white Christian girl from Dallas.
Right. But like, you never really, in young people, I never really see that. So the super like southern accent, like I can't even do it. That's how like,
but you know why? Because we're not part of those circles, dude. Like,
I know
now
I'm
that
not, but I also but I have met them, and like,
oh, I have,
my mom has worked with, you know, those kind of people for most of my life, and I just feel like they never had that accent.
No, I mean, her accent's overdone because she's Australian in real life, so she would have to play up the accent to
like,
get rid of her.
They
should have
had her
accent
set in like Georgia or something, because Texans don't, like, these days you don't, you just, unless you're out in the fucking backwoods, you don't really have that accent if you're in a city.
Yeah, like, I think maybe she was in the suburbs of Dallas, which would make more sense. Like,
you
maybe
gotta go
even
real
Fort
suburb
Worth.
Like, you gotta get
even
out
in
there.
Fort Worth. No, but, like, she really is the embodiment. Like, if you come to Dallas and you meet a white girl, like, her personality is Christian.
Yeah.
Like, Christian.
That
like,
part of
church.
It, accurate. That's fine.
On the nose.
Yeah. Just the accent. I was like, what? Anyways. She has a lot of conflicts, very specifically with Tony, like I've mentioned, because she comes from a religious family and at first kind of comes off as a complete stereotype. I think she's trying to be a stereotype. She's not trying to get away from it. She's trying to go into it because I don't think that's who she is authentically. And yeah, like, she is trying to be super positive, super helpful. She's making friends with Martha, who I'll talk about later, which is pissing off Tony.
Lovely human. Perfect human.
Yeah. But it kind of just turns out she has a lot of internal struggles and has to hash them out with Tony. Yeah, definitely with Tony. And
her heart, I'll tell you this though, no spoilers, just Shelby's episode was a lot.
It was just a lot.
It was really heavy.
It was something that's probably like the least new age, the least current thing that they did, right? Because everybody had kind of like not stereotypical journeys, but Shelby's was the most stereotypical, like on film. You know, we've seen that trope before, but I didn't hate it.
No, there was still a lot of nuance to this age-old story.
Tale as old as time. Or whatever.
I can't even sing along because, like, the next line would spoil that episode for everybody, so I'm Beauty not going to do Beast? That. Yeah, because, like, if I remix the lyrics according to Shelby's experience, like, I'd kill it for everybody. Okay. So, but yeah, it's, oof, what episode.
Anyways. So finally, Martha, not the last one, but Martha, who is probably the most, lovable character of all of them. She is the person that Tony moves in with. She's also, you know, from an indigenous, like, background and, like, very into it, right? Like, she even, like, she's a dancer and she dances, like, the traditional, like, dances from her, like, culture. And it's incredible to see it. And she's the sweetest character, and her journey is very, like, how do I even say, like, visual? You see it. And so basically what happens with her is, despite having this perfect family that takes Tony in, she has these issues that are buried really deep even for her, and she wants to keep them there because it's very difficult to deal with. And we kind of have to go back and see her realize what's happened, you know? That's so vague.
I mean, it explores trauma in a not like, what can I call it? It didn't feel like poverty porn. It's a very similar, it didn't feel like they were doing it just to do it. It felt like it had purpose. Like, yes, it was traumatic, but at the same time, they were trying to explore it and give a solution to it versus just kind of accessing that pain without any kind of purpose, you know? I think it was a good episode to, like...
And they didn't make her seem weak either, you know? If anything, they made her seem strong, which is... She's such a baddie. Yeah.
I love her. Like, she's probably a Cancer or Pisces. She has to be. Yeah. She's so sweet. Cancer.
Her. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe Pisces. But I see her way more... She's also one of the other characters other than Dot that wasn't your traditional skinny bitch. So that was cool. Yeah. Just had to throw that in.
No, she was just a normal person.
There's just one scene. I'm not going to say what happens or what Martha does. But like I said, they make her out to be this strong, badass bitch in that moment. And that's where Fatten says, like, I'm so, like, sexually attracted to you right now. And that's where I was like... And I fucking knew you had it in you.
I think I was waiting for that moment from Fatten too, because it was just like her and Dot like going back and forth, like, oh, I'll go with you. And I'm like, excuse me? Like, can I watch that show instead of this one? Like, but yeah. No. Shout out Martha.
Yeah. So finally we learned about Nora, who is like the quiet intellectual type who thinks about things like very in a reasonable manner. She's Rachel's sister, so Rachel's kind of like the tough athletic girl with like her own issues, whereas her sister is like the polar opposite. She's like all brain, all like, you know, keeping it cool and level-headed. I interpreted her character as being like on the autism spectrum, and then her story definitely adds to that. You know, it's at the very end, so I can't spoil very much of her story at all. I can't really get into detail about it because it's tied into the finale. And in the finale, of course, there's going to be big plot reveals and huge mind-blown, like, shit. So here's where I'm going to, like, start walking the line. I'm not going to get spoilery, but I am going to walk the line a little bit. So if you want to scooch ahead, it's okay.
Let's get into it. I'm excited.
Stay tuned for Kajillionaire. All right, so most of these characters, like, during the series, yes, you're getting the plot of what's going on the island, but you're getting the flashback, and then you're getting each of them are being interviewed about, like, their experience on the island and what happened, and you're assuming it's because something fucking went down. Somebody's got to be dead. Like, what happened on this island that has them all being, like, locked up and interviewed by these official dudes? So, in a way, you're kind of getting an insight onto how they've changed. You know, like, there's some really big physical transformative stuff that you see, like, certain people that rhyme with Schmelby, and and then you also, and I think, like, that's a part of, like, the experiment.
Rachel too.
That one too. Whoa. Then that's the point of this experiment, right? Because, like, it doesn't take very long to figure out that they're not on this island and they didn't survive some crash. Like, all this shit was, like, planned. All this shit was, it's fucked up, right? And then you start to get the Orphan Black vibes where you're like, oh, it's not just them. It's going on everywhere.
Dude.
The science community be wildin'. What are y'all doing out here? Anyways, yeah. So that's where I'm like, ah. Yeah, it's hard not to get spoilery, but this whole show, despite being, like, almost, like, a sci-fi fantasy type of thing, almost gave me, like, Runaways vibes without superpowers. I don't know. But, see that? It has Runaways vibes, like, in the, just the, like, character-wise.
There's, like, good writing, and there's, like, they actually look like regular people, like, a diverse cast. I was like, what?
Yeah.
True diversity? What is happening?
They really put the effort in, gotta say. Gotta give them the clappies there.
Great, great casting choices. I never feel that way, but wow. Like, they really did that shit.
Yeah. I was pretty, like, surprised and pleasantly surprised by this show. I watched it probably, like, in 2 days. And it was... It already got renewed for season 2, like, within the same month, which is pretty impressive. It's also Amazon Prime, so they make their decisions pretty quickly. So, I don't know. But I'm excited for season 2, and I probably wouldn't give it any cafecitos. I thought it was pretty fucking good. Like, maybe, like, yeah, it's not, like, fucking HBO Euphoria type of shit, but it was pretty fucking good.
I mean, in a lot of ways, they're better than HBO Euphoria.
You think so? Euphoria gets me in an emotional way that The Wilds doesn't. But The Wilds is really great, like, in all the aspects that we described.
Yeah, I feel like there was a really long conversation about what they wanted to do with this show and how they wanted to kind of have a message, but not, like, it'd be too over the top. So, this is a wild-ass show.
The Wilds is a wild-ass show? Okay.
The Wilds is wildin'. Surprise, surprise. They really named it correctly. I would give it, like, 5 panluces just because it passes all my, like, diversity tests and, like, Bechtel, you know, female gaze.
What are the other tests? Yeah.
Yeah. Like, the not white test. It passed that, too. And I think Rachel and Nora are Capricorns. That's
both
just
of
my...
Both of them are together. Really?
They're twins. I think
they're
Caps.
I don't think Nora is a Capricorn. Oh, they're twins.
They're twins, so they're both Caps. No, I think Rachel's definitely a Cap because
she
crazy.
Could be.
And Nora, like, is also a Cap because there's, like, two sides of us. Like, you know, either you're chill or you're, like, super type A.
I can see that. It's like there's the Capricorns that I mostly know, and then there's, like, the Pat Capricorns, which would be Nora. Chill. Love plants.
I'm chill.
Okay, ma'am. Sure.
I don't get jokes. You could tell me a joke and I'm gonna be like 20 seconds later laughing just like Nora. I was like, Nora, I feel you. Like, you don't really know what's going on. You're just kind of like, that didn't logically make sense, so I can't laugh at it. Like, same. See?
Okay. All right.
Rachel, all right. You know, crazy. Like, I'm not saying that we can't be both, but I'm saying, you know,
Rachel's just got a chip on her shoulder.
Yeah, know? Caps usually do.
Yeah, that's the Cap that I know. That's the one that I recognize.
You're like, that one's right.
That one makes sense to me. in general. But yeah, that's good to know. Did you do all of them? Did you do Leia?
Yeah, Leia would be okay. Unpopular opinion. I also think she could be a Virgo. So this is where I am. I think
I can see that.
I see her being a Virgo. Honestly, she's obsessive. She's a compulsive person, and I think she got like super mad, carried away in her obsession. Whereas Fatten is a Taurus because she just wants to chill and be glamorous, you know. But at the same time, she still is like super talented and gets her shit done. So I think
she's not trying to be faithful to no one. That's what I know about a Taurus.
She's having a good time, okay? And you know, she's chilling. When everyone's doing tasks, she's like, I'm gonna be over here glamorous, doing nothing. Tasked. And I'm like, I feel that. Us. Yeah. All my Taurus placements agree. Like, you wanna do something or you wanna sleep and lay around. I would sleep and lay around all day. But anyways, but yeah, I did do everyone. I got bored. Not bored, but I just got super into the show and I started drinking. So there we go.
Nice. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was kind of convinced that my chart was a little bit off because I was like, I don't believe my mom when she told me what time I was born. So I checked my birth certificate and she wasn't completely right, but she wasn't wrong either. Like, my placements have not changed. They are correct. So now I'm like, okay, I need to maybe learn about myself. I don't know.
I should do your chart on a Patreon episode. I've been getting drunk and doing my friend's charts on like FaceTime.
That what co-stars for?
No, co-star is shitty. Time passages, y'all. Get time pass. You gotta know your Midhaven.
Okay, you're the one who told me about co-star. I can't keep up with this lesbian shit, dude. I'm just like,
I got you. I got. That's what I'm saying. Like, I'll do your chart.
That's a really good idea, though, for a Patreon episode. Patreon.com/COIC podcast. If you want to listen to that shit,
I will do your chart. We can get drunk on like a weekend, and I will do your chart. Like, I swear,
it would have to be a Sunday. Sunday's
your,
my cheat
your
day.
Chiron. Your fucking Midhaven, all that shit, who you are to the public, who you are.
Maybe you can
private.
Give a little tutorial to what the fuck all that means.
I got you. That's all I do in my free time is, you know, stand twice and look up, you know, charts. So I got you.
All right. That sounds like a plan. But we're going over on our time. We got to hurry up. Let's go.
Okay,
let's
yeah. This. All right, y'all. So, hey, welcome to my corner. I'll be talking about Cajillionaire today. It's written and directed by Miranda July. You've heard her name before. She is a novelist, a creative fucking nonfiction writer. She's written a novel. She's made written and directed her own movies before. She's usually starring in them. This is one of the first times she is not actually starring in her own film because there was no one within the script that actually fit her description of who she is. So shout out to Miranda not being in this. You've also heard of her because she interviewed the wonderful, amazing, oh my God, how lucky can she get? She interviewed Rihanna and it was one of the best interviews I've ever read ever. And one of the only times I think we really got to see and understand who Rihanna is. I think Miranda July is a genius, and I don't say that lightly because I don't feel that way and I don't stan, you know, white women. But I love y'all, but I don't always stan y'all. But I do stan her. I think she's a deeply empathetic. Oh, wow. I can't even talk. I think she deeply understands the emotions of other people and humans, and she understands loneliness, and she incorporates these ideas of modern age, like capitalism and how it destroys the family. And she incorporated all of these ideas into Cajillionaire. Cajillionaire stars Evan Rachel Wood as old Dolio. It also stars Richard Jenkins and who's her mom? Deborah Winger plays her mother. They're a family of low-level scammers, as is all of America. I mean, they're living the American so-called dream. They're planning ridiculous, stupid, out of the way scams. The movie starts off with a scam. They're stealing mail, and usually they're finding useless things and trying to fucking sell them so they can live in their office space next to a bubble factory. Yes, move with me, people. This movie is like, it really reminds me of like a short story in the way that it's very strange, it's very creative and original. Because every single one of these characters is completely fleshed out, but also you have no idea. You don't get any kind of like backstory. You're just kind of dropped into this world. And you get to see a different side of LA that isn't really, I don't know, it's not really like talked about in mainstream Hollywood. This is definitely like real ass LA. This is like the manufacturing, like regular part of LA that, I mean, if you come to LA, you see what it is.
As LA, dude.
You didn't?
I did not recognize that shit as LA. Well, for one, they said $500 for rent, which makes no sense to me.
I mean, also, where they're living at should be condemned because there's bubbles that come in on, like, there's bubbles there coming through this wall, so this place should be condemned. And I'm assuming maybe that's why it's $500, but also the whole idea of their scams and everything that they do to live. I mean, the whole thing is ridiculous and not, like, it's, like, obviously an alternate universe, right? I hope so. But, where they're trying to make, you know, $500 to get by. They're stealing mail. They're fucking trying to return gift certificates. Like, the whole thing is ridiculous.
It's real as fuck, though. As a person that, like, worked in retail when I was, like, young. Oh, my God.
People do it.
And, like, families. Like, there's literally teenagers, like, at my desk screaming at me, I'm gonna call corporate if you don't return this thing without a receipt. I'm like, you're 16. What the hell do you know about corporate? Like,
scammers.
It's, yeah, it's, like, con artist, but like it's sad. I just remember being like, fuck, I don't know, it would frustrate the hell out of me.
And I you know, I think she was saying something about capitalism this entire movie and how it has broken apart everyone and everything. It is like destroyed actual families, like old Dolio. She's like a fragment of a human, you know. She's not been shown any kind of tenderness, any kind of like regular humanity and regular love. And I know that's like the way she was raised. I can't say it's a super cold way, they call it, I think, ego parenting. They try to raise their child as if they're adults. They never try to baby them, but at the same time they also take away, they strip away the humanity that we have by doing that. Like, they never had a birthday, they never told her happy birthday, they fucking named her Old Dolio after an old homeless man. I mean, the whole movie, the premise of it itself is so strange, and I think that's what I liked about it, was that it was so odd. Like, we're watching these low-level scammers get by. And what the movie really centers, and why I'm talking about it, other than I think I really like Miranda July now, is there is this really strange but very beautiful connection between Old Dolio and Melanie. Melanie would be the complete opposite of Old Dolio. She is warm. She's also not white. That's huge. She is played by, oh god, I know I'm gonna get heat for this, but she's played by Gina Rodriguez, and I know how y'all feel about her.
Not aspiring Afro Latina Gina Rodriguez.
Yes,
she swears. Yeah. Anyways,
yeah, she does. I agree completely, but I also, like, I don't know, she played the fuck out of this role. Did she play herself? Maybe. I'm okay with that.
You know, and she was also, this isn't the first time she's played queer. She was queer in that fucking movie with the plants becoming people.
Oh, Annihilation.
Yeah, that one.
I like that movie too.
different kind of lesbian, but go on.
Yes, completely different kind of gay. Like, she was butch. But in this one, she plays, like, you know, the kind of a very basic girl, but also a basic girl who has a lot of kindness, a lot of warmth, and oddly she's down to scam with random strangers she met in an airplane. I think she's very open, whereas Old Dolio is very closed. Old Dolio would not just talk to a stranger and have a conversation And Gina Rodriguez characters, Melanie is super open to everyone and super kind and giving and warm and very alive and very in her world. And these two people meet, and the movie that you thought you were watching turns into something completely different. And it happens in a Big Bang-esque kind of way. And the Big Bang takes place in a gas station bathroom in the dark.
Oh, yeah. By the way, earthquakes don't happen that often.
No, they don't.
Not that often. Like, sometimes, we have a weekend where we have an earthquake and, like, a bunch of aftershocks. But, like, come on. Not all the time.
Yeah. This is definitely an alternate universe. This is definitely very much fiction. It does not exist in the LA that you're in. But, like, just because of that, because of there's this always this constant fear of interacting and being human and being part of the real world, that you get to understand that old Dolio, after this big bang for her in this bathroom, she begins to live. And all of a sudden, you're watching a human kind of be born for the first time, like a newborn baby who's 26, right? But yeah. And like, for some reason, this super hot girl wants to hang out with you and likes you. Sure. Okay. Like, let's go with it. It doesn't make any sense. None of it's made sense up to this point.
Because, like, why is this girl, like, so lonely in life, but not lonely? She doesn't act lonely. I don't know.
Yeah, like, Melanie is lonely. She doesn't seem to have any friends in L.A., which doesn't make sense for her being her. Like, if Gina Rodriguez walked down the street, I'm sure she'd make, like, 2, 4, 5, 10 different friends if she wanted to. But this character is very lonely, and then she finds a friend more than friendship with old Dolio, and it's oddly cool and beautiful. And
I love the intrigue that she had in her, right? Because that's something that, like, I don't see very often on screen, where it's like, well, I mean, you see it, but it's always like some white dude, right? yeah. But it's like this girl who has everything, all the attention from whoever she wants, and then all of a sudden this, like, she's just finds herself locked into, like, the little actions of this weirdo. So the intrigue that Gina Rodriguez's character had and Evan Rachel Woods, I only know their real names.
Dolio. It's such a weird name. Yeah.
I was like, that's fascinating. That's cool. I like that a lot. And Evan Rachel Wood being queer in real life is fun too. So let's do some more of that.
And I mean, even old Dolio's Evan Rachel Wood's voice in this movie is very interesting. And she said that in a couple interviews that she kind of wanted to approach old Dolio as kind of like genderless. Like, old Dolio isn't female or male. Like, they're kind of this,
when you treat somebody like they're not human, you're not going to treat them like they have a gender, right?
So yeah, but also, like, for old Dolio themselves, like, that person didn't have,
she approached it as a non-binary person almost.
Correct. Yeah. And the way they dressed and the way they spoke, whoever old Dolio was, they were just themselves. They lived outside of that norm as well. But comfortably
almost like that old world where gender isn't assigned, you know?
Yes, yes. No gender was assigned, because no soul was assigned until after that Big Bang. And, I mean, old Dolio started living with Melanie, and there was a lot of interesting conversations about how capitalism affected her family and her family dynamic, and how that broke open, and how, I keep saying her, excuse me, old Dolio finds out that their childhood and their entire life was cold and bad and hard for them. And with the help of Melanie, they open up and they start to realize the world is there and they want to be in it. They want to live in this world. And that's just, like, the coolest thing to see, to me, see a human being who wants to be part of humanity. After spending all of this time not understanding, like, old Dolio couldn't even stand to be near someone who just being close to someone. Old Dolio couldn't even get a massage. They didn't even want to be touched. And to move from that point to the very end of this movie. Woo, the end of this movie.
Yes, but just going back for half a second.
Okay.
Did you notice who the masseuse was? Who also turned out to be the waiter later.
From High Fidelity.
From High Fidelity. Fuck. Fuck, what's her name? Like, Divine Joy. I just had it up like a second ago. Devine Joy Randolph. Whew, yes. She's awesome. I saw her and I was immediately like, she was robbed.
Yeah.
Give her back High Fidelity Season 2. I was very excited to see her. And of course, she did not get even nearly as much, anywhere near as much screen time as I would have liked. But I was excited to see her, period.
She was great comedic relief when they were in that restaurant.
She's like the whole, pretty much her, it's just her being incredulous at like everything that is that family.
She, like, her character is just us reacting to them.
Being like, what the... She's the audience. She's like, yeah.
Exactly. Like, y'all are weird as fuck. I'm gonna walk away.
Basically.
But yeah, and there's just, like, incredible conversations to be had about, like, that breaking apart of not wanting to live within that kind of society with that kind of rules instead of... She moves in, old Olio moves into the rules of where Melanie lives, where it's at the end, she's kind of had her own epiphany and she's decided that however life was going to treat her, she was going to be okay with it. And I thought that was very, very cool the way Melanie handled the situations that were thrown at her. You know, that she was just like, well, fuck it. Here I am. I'm still here, though, so I don't give a shit. And I thought that was really, really beautiful. And there's just so much. There's so much in this movie. And there's so much to be talked about. You know, there's the whole family dynamic being absolutely, like, her parents sucking. Like, I want to fight her parents.
And I want to know. I don't know if you know, but I want to know why the choice to make their landlord cry all the time. Like, why? Why is he permanently crying? I just want to know, like, what does that mean in the context of capitalism? I don't know.
They didn't explain that one.
Like, they're that exploiting was... all the time, and they're gonna act like they're not, but they're secretly crying. I don't know. There's something there.
Yeah, there's definitely something there. Like, there has to be, because he was hooking it up for them really good.
He was like okay, yeah, don't fucking report my apartment. I'm crying always, all the time. He's a Pisces.
Damn. Where's the lie, though? He is a Pisces.
Yo, I'm like part Pisces. I don't know how it works, but there's a Pisces thing in me, too, so.
Pisces Venus and your Pisces crying, rising, right?
Started out this year crying.
Yeah, that's right.
Also started out the year drunk, but that's another story.
Wait, you're Pisces rising, right?
That sounds right, sure.
I think you are, yeah. And I think you have a Pisces, a Venus. So that would make sense. Anyways, that's for the Patreon.
Find down on patreon.com/COC podcast.
Coming to you live. No, I give this movie like 5 panuzas.
Wow. There's,
I really... Oh, it's so weird. It's not a remake. Fucking Evan Rachel Wood is just doing the most weird shit. Fucking, I don't know, the chemistry between them two, like, I'm not gonna lie, like, that was like, they had chemistry.
Didn't hate it. Yeah,
they actually had, like, I usually I'm like, oh no, this is gonna be an Ammonite kiss. It was not no Ammonite kiss.
That's a whole other conversation we need to have, ma'am. Ammonite's a whole other okay. Anyways,
I haven't seen it. I'm
you
just
haven't seen
shit.
Ammonite?
I've seen that
don't
part.
Don't talk shit until you see that movie. All right, anyways.
I've seen that part. but yeah, I gave it 5 palnusas just because it was the weirdest shit I've ever seen. And I just, it passes the test for me, because if you're going to make some white shit, and make it the most white shit you can make.
Passes
and guess what?
Passes the Becky test?
It passes the Becky test. And as a white Thina, She killed it. She killed it. I'm a white Thina, and she done killed the game for them white girls who, like, gonna follow her. Y'all need to go take lessons from Miranda July. Make the whitest shit you can find.
Wait, are you saying Miranda July is a Latina?
No. I'm saying as my white Thina self, right?
Okay.
I'm a white Thina.
Thank you for clearing that up.
Yeah, no.
I thought you were talking about white Thina and Gina Rodriguez.
No, don't you remember she's Afro-Latina?
Oh, right.
Oh, Lord, that woman. But you know what? Her chemistry with Evan Rachel Wood.
We forgive you for that hour and 45 minutes.
And also, her character was so damn likable. I was like, how can I just like
Gina
Rodriguez right
now? Honestly. But
great,
I feel like for any character in comparison to that family was going to be like, a relief, you know, like, I understand how you function, you know.
Yeah, but you know, Melanie's character definitely Cancer. Old Dolio probably a Capricorn.
Cancer, really? I felt like she was too outgoing to be a Cancer. I don't know.
Oh, more like a Leo?
Not that outgoing.
No, I just say because she was like, so nice. I honestly
like could be a Leo because she definitely wanted everyone to like her. And not in like a desperate way, more like in a... Oh, you think Gina Rodriguez is a Leo?
I think... Isn't she Leo in real life?
Fucking... I don't know about all that. Let's see. Why is this like the horoscope episode?
It really is.
It's July 30th. Oh, I think she is. Holy yep, fuck.
That's a Leo, dude.
That's so strange. You know how we just... I wash myself of that anyways. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe like a half cafecito just because like I didn't feel like, you know, like I don't know. I didn't feel like super attached to it. It's a good movie though. Very, very good movie.
Yeah. I understood Old Dolio. I was like, oh, wow. A bitch just needed a hug. And I was like, wow, a hug would have changed our childhoods. I'm just saying.
Wow.
Trauma. Like, does she have Mexican parents? Like, I'm just, you know, like, I felt that. So, but anyways, 5 panluzas to this weird ass movie. I know I'm giving it a super high rating, but you guys, I ain't seen shit good this year, okay?
Okay.
I've seen
in shit 2020 good, terms.
But in 2021, look, I ain't seen nothing good. But yeah, 5 panluzas. Shout out to Miranda July. I'm going to read, one of her books. I already fucking got it ready in my like phone, ready to listen to it, so I'm hype. But yeah, anyways,
all right guys, thanks for listening to the first episode of 2021.
Is that your British accent?
Yeah, it was pretty bad. I need some practice. I'm working on it. I'm sorry. Hit us up if you have any thing that you want to say. cycpodcastmail@gmail.com. Our website is cabronesychingonas.com. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at CYC Podcast. We already mentioned our Patreon like 5 times. We have merch on Teespring. We'll link that. I don't know, dude. More than anything, I have to go back to this. Please support California Love 84 in any way that you can. I've literally just had her videos playing for like the past, I don't know, 72 hours. So, yeah. Hey, if you're fun employed like myself, then you can maybe do something like that. Whatever you can. Definitely a great cause.
Yeah, we just really love her. And just, yeah, it's love. I have feelings anyways.
Let's not go there. Yeah, I don't want to.
Let's not go there.
My Pisces can't handle that right now.
No.
But I think that's all. We'll see you in a couple weeks. Bye, guys.
Bye.